If you look up in the sky, the brightest star you can see is Sirius. I'm going to get serious now. Shut up and get your notepads. I'm going to get serious now. The brightest star is Sirius. I'm reading from The Sirius Mystery, Robert K.G. Temple. If you're watching for the first time, I believe that I can start with truth anywhere and end up in the right place. About the middle of the last century, I'll bore you with this much review. An astronomer was looking rather hard at Sirius over a period of time, got annoyed because it wasn't sitting still. It was wobbling. He had a difficult time figuring this out, but he finally concluded an extremely heavy and massive star going around Sirius could make it wobble that way. The only trouble was there wasn't any large star going around Sirius. Instead, there turned out to be a tiny little thing going around it every 50 years. So Sirius, the brightest star in the sky, if you go outside and look tonight, came to be called Sirius A. And that little thing going around it became Sirius B. Sirius B was at that time unique in the universe as far as anyone knew. That's about 1500 A.D. Now, over 100 of these things have been discovered, and we've come to know not only about white dwarfs, but black holes and pulsars. The white dwarfs are compressed stars where the mass is pushed in so tightly that a matchbox full of matter would weigh over a ton. The smallest stars, so condensed that if you were to land on them, you'd turn into a pancake. Gravity would flatten you instantly. Nobody knew about those in the Middle Ages. Till this guy discovered it, and then white dwarfs entered the language of astronomy. White dwarfs are strange because although they're feeble, they're strong. They don't give out much light. They have fantastically powerful gravitation. On a white dwarf, we wouldn't even be a fraction of an inch high because of gravity. We'd be full flat. That's what was going around Sirius. Now, some astronomers claim there's a Sirius C, but it's never been discovered. Two or three of them claim they think they've seen it. The significance to what we're reading about these Dogon people is that a couple of French anthropologists stayed with them for so long that they gained their confidence, and the oral traditions of the priests in their religious activity were passed on. Never before had they trusted a white man enough to tell them. These Dogon tribes in Mali, in Central Africa, knew all about this star. They consider it the most important star in the sky. They admit it's invisible. How do they know it exists? They call it Po, the name for the smallest grain in Africa, to try to communicate how small it was. You've heard this before, but can I review it? The technical name is Digitaria exilis, the smallest grain grown in Central Africa. They not only knew it existed and knew it was small. I'll find one of their statements here. I think I can. I want the direct quote if I can find it. Let me just keep going. They not only knew it was small and going around Sirius, they knew that Sirius, the star you can see, is one of the foci of an elliptical orbit. They also knew that the orbit was a 50-year orbit. The Dogon also say that Sirius B rotates on its axis, an invisible star. They knew it was small and heavy, that it rotated around Sirius A, that it had a 50-year orbit, and that it itself rotated on its axis. How do these people know this? As they also say, as well as its movement in space, Digitaria, or pole, revolves upon itself over the period of 1 year. And this revolution is honored during the celebration of the Bado rite, one of their special rites. We don't know. Modern astronomy has still not been able to determine the time span of the rotation on its own axis. As our Earth rotates around and gives us day and night, modern astronomy has not determined how long it takes Poe to rotate. But the Dogon precisely tell us how long. They describe it as infinitely tiny. Their statement is, the star which is considered to be the smallest thing in the sky is also the heaviest. Poe, they say, or Digitaria, is the smallest thing there. It's the heaviest star. They say it consists of a metal called Sagala, which is a little brighter than iron and so heavy that all earthly beings combined cannot lift it. To summarize again, they know that the star is invisible, yet they know it's there. They know its orbital period is 50 years, and it's been determined it really is. They know that Sirius A is not at the center of its orbit, which it's not. It's at the foci. They know that Sirius A is at one of the foci of an elliptical orbit, which is true. They know that Sirius B is the smallest kind of star. They know that Sirius B is composed of a special kind of material they call Sagala, or Sagala, which means in its root meaning strong, and that the material comprising that star does not exist on the Earth. They know that this material is heavier than all the iron on Earth, all of which is true. And all of this forms the most sacred and most secret tradition known to the Dogon people, the basis of their religion and the basis of their lives. Let's see if I can find the map of Africa here so the people listening on radio can see it again. There's where the Dogon dwell. Get me all of Africa in, Mike, and then come in. There you go. You can see the shape of Africa. Here's the Ivory Coast and Ghana and Nigeria. Right in the heart, you've heard of Timbuktu. It's in the heart of Mali. That's where the Dogon live. They know all of this. Not just a few years, for thousands of years, long before the scientists of the Middle Ages discovered it. And modern astronomy refined it, and they say precisely that there is a Sirius C, and they know the orbit of Sirius C. It hasn't been discovered yet. Well, they know this stuff. It is, now, as is the case so often, when we teach on things here, it's picked up on other series. We're watched in Hollywood night and day, recorded. And Search did a series on the Dogon, but they made an error. They didn't do the research properly. And they falsely described the basis of the Sigi festival. The most sacred and secret tradition, bases of their religion and their lives. And as I said, connected with all this are statements they make about the existence of a third star in the Sirius system, which they call the Imiya star. And it's too hot in here. Give me some air. These people got so active in here, they steamed the place up. That third star that science has not yet discovered, they say it's four times as light in weight as Poe or Digitaria. It travels with a greater trajectory in the same direction at the same time, 50 years. They even position it on its rotation. And they say this last star that nobody has even found yet has a satellite. So there is yet a star undiscovered that they claim, give it specifics, and it too has a satellite. How do they know this? They believe that the center of the universe, everything came from there. They even develop a concept of birth to where this Sirius system is the placentia, from which all the universe comes. They also know the existence of four other invisible heavenly bodies besides Sirius B that modern science has discovered. Here they are, thousands of years before medieval scientists even dreamed about it, certainly hadn't discovered it, that Dogen knew of four other invisible to the naked eye bodies in our own solar system. They knew of the four Galilean moons of Jupiter. Now, these four moons are called Galilean because Galileo discovered them, but the Dogen knew about it before Galileo was born. He discovered them when he began to use the telescope. The other moons of Jupiter are small and insignificant, having formerly been asteroids which were captured by Jupiter's gravitation at some unknown time in the past. The four Galilean moons, the Dogen describe it in their mythology. Now, they have this universe under the control of a mythical person they call the Fox. And as you follow their mythology, the Fox is very comparable to Lucifer, which the Bible says was cast out of heaven, had been in Eden. This was his territory before his fall. God created man, gave him dominion over this earth. Man gave it to the devil. He's the prince of the power of the air. To the Dogen, the Fox controls this area. They speak of a mutilation of the Fox, which in their mythology describes a happening that helped to produce elements of this universe, very analogous to Satan being cast out. And that time that Jeremiah saw, in which he said there were cities, as the King James has it, Ayar, is translated cities, not cities in fact, but rather dwelling places. If you take the Hebrew and read Jeremiah, he says that he saw this earth when there was no man on it. But there were cities, and it's a past tense revelation vision. Cities, the King James says. The Hebrew is the word that simply means gathering places for intelligent beings, not necessarily man. We know from Isaiah and Ezekiel that Satan existed and was in Eden before he fell. We know that Jesus, past tense, says, I saw Lucifer cast down, third of heaven. And when Jeremiah sees this place and there was no man, but there were meeting places of intelligent beings that the King James calls cities, he sees a cataclysm strike the earth, mountains moved, and then uses the exact wording of Genesis 1:2. The earth became a waste and a desolation. The Dogen have it. The Fox suffered a mutilation, and they're very earthy. Suffered. It's late enough, I can read this. The blood of his genitals fell on the ground, their own. Mythology has it. But that dripping blood ascended to the heavens and became the moons of Jupiter. Now, God says in his word in Romans that God's message was written in the heavens from the beginning. But man sinned and began to worship the creation instead of the Creator. Don't judge the depository of truth by what people do to change it. As the myths went on, the generic quality of the myth is some ruler of this universe came under a cataclysmic happening that resulted in the rearranging of many elements in this universe, which led them to what is very accurate, Jupiter's moons, and they draw it. The Dogen religious symbols, as they show the path of Sirius A, or rather Sirius B around Sirius A, their worship shrines would set up on the ground with stones, the drawing of Jupiter with the four Galilean moons that Galileo discovered. They knew it for thousands of years. As for Saturn, This is their drawing of Saturn with its rings. The Dogon specifically describe its famous halo. They call Saturn the star of limiting the place in association somehow with the Milky Way. Their sayings were never quite understood by the anthropologists, but it seems that they may be trying to convey the idea that Saturn limits the place of the solar system, separating it from and acting as a link with the Milky Way itself in which the solar system is situated. That's some benchmark divider line in the universe by someone who understood it all. For the Dogon, remember, while the Middle Ages thought the world was flat and Columbus would fall off the side, thousands of years earlier, the Dogon saw the universe as an infinite number of stars and claimed that many spiraling worlds existed. They carefully differentiate the three kinds of tolo, or stars. They say the thick stars, this is a primitive tribe in Central Africa. They say the thick stars are a part of the family of stars that doesn't turn around another star. Then they say the planets belong to the family of stars that turn around another star. And then the satellites are called tologenoi, stars that make a circle. They characterize the universe in its heavenly motions by liking it to the circulation of the blood. The planets and satellites and companions are circulating blood. And this brings us to the extraordinary point that the Dogon know about the circulation of the blood in the body from their own tradition. In our own culture, the Englishman William Harvey, who lived 1578 to 1657, again, 16th century, discovered the circulation of the blood. They knew about it thousands of years ago. Strange as it may seem to us now, before his time, the notion seems not to have occurred to anyone that the blood circulated. John Obrey, author of Brief Lives, knew Harvey, the Englishman who discovered the concept, well, and tells us, quote, "I have heard him say that after his book of the circulation of the blood came out, that it was believed by the vulgar that he was crack-brained." However, the same theory does not arouse among the Dogon notion. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
That their wise men are crack-brained. Here's an account of the theory by the Dogon themselves, recorded in their own words, passed on through their priests for centuries. The movement of the blood in the body, which circulates inside the organs in the belly, on the one hand clear blood and on the other the oil, keeps them both united. That is the progress of the word. The blood water or clear goes through the heart, then the lungs, the liver, and the spleen. The oily blood goes through the pancreas, the kidneys, the intestines, and the genitals. The Dogon say the food you eat, the beverage you drink, that ama changes into red blood, white blood, is a bad thing. They also say the essence of nourishment passes into the blood. They know that the blood passes into the internal organs, starting with the heart. The Dogon even seem to understand the role of oxygen, or at least air, entering the bloodstream, for they equate air with the word, which they say enters the bloodstream, bringing nourishment of the interior by the impulse raised by the heart. The integration of the word, they have a word very much like ruach, which is God breathing his life into man. The integration of the word air into the body also has to do with the food nourishing the blood. All the organs of respiration and digestion are associated with this integration. The Milky Way, likened to a circulation of the blood, is described by them. The term Yalu-Ulo designates the Milky Way of our galaxy, which sums up the stellar world of which the Earth is a part and which spins in a spiral. It encompasses the multiplication and the development almost infinite of the spiraloid stellar worlds that Amma created. There are spiraling worlds that fill the universe, infinite and yet measurable. Amma is the chief god, the creator of the universe to the Dogon, and as the book I read here one night by the archaeologist entitled eternity in the heart. The most primitive societies start with a supreme God, then work into later additions. Amma was that supreme God, the creator of the universe to the Dogon. The Dogon have no difficulty in conceiving of intelligent life in other places of the universe. The world of spiraling stars were populated universes, for as he created things, Amma gave the world its shape and its movement and created living creatures. The Dogon know that the earth turns on its own axis. When the fox walks over the tables of divination which have been drawn in the sand, the planet begins to turn under the action of the fox's paws, and they relate it to the ruler of this universe, the fox. The Dogon know perfectly well that it is the turning of the earth on its axis which makes the sky seem to turn around. Thousands of years before medieval Europe thought it was flat. They speak of, quote, the apparent movement of the stars from east to west as men see them. The Dogon are thus free from the illusions of European ancestors who thought the sky and stars wheeled around the earth. You see, they're smart. I want to show you something. They didn't wear three-piece suits and dress like television evangelists. It blows my mind. The Dogon are thus free from the illusions of our European ancestors who thought the sky and stars were around the earth. The placenta is used by the Dogon as a symbol of a system or group of stars or planets. Our own solar system is referred to as a placenta. And then they speak of Nomo, the collective name for the great culture hero and founder of civilization who came from the Sirius system to set up society on the earth. Nomo brought them, they say, this knowledge. Now, the landing of Nomo on our earth in their mythology is called the Day of the Fish. Now, our Bible says, if you believe it, that before the flood, the earth that then was different. As we referred many times, there was a firmament. Whatever it is, I don't know. But when the flood came, prior to that, there had never been any rain. The earth was apparently encased between a watery firmament that was contained and didn't drop. Because when the flood came, water gushed up and the firmament broke and water gushed down. As I was saying humorously the other night, you know, you look up and watch the guppies swim, I guess. It's not that far out. The reason people possibly lived so long before the flood is sun's rays were cut out, which we know ages you. They lived in a equatorial, apparently constant kind of temperature situation. No rain, water above, land and water below. They lived in between, the whole earth circle. Wouldn't it make sense that to them, out through that watery firmament, would be the land of the fishes? And then when God sucked all the water up and separated it, who knows what he put the fish above to? Nomo, when he landed, is called the Day of the Fish. Our solar system is called the placenta of Ogo, the fox, who is impure. Our own planet Earth is significantly the place where Ogo's umbilical cord was attached to his placenta. Now, I've wondered, as I've studied early religions, why that every primitive religion seeks God on a mountain. I studied under Kishimoto while I was doing my doctorate at Stanford. He was perhaps the greatest authority on mountain worship in Japan in the world. But no matter where you go in primitive religion, their hieroglyphics tell you that story. God is sitting on a mountain. Now just speculate for a moment. Was this earth different before the flood, with a firmament and an opening that would make Job say that heaven was to the north. In the north, where the mountain of God went through the firmament, which allowed those watchers that came down with Enoch, sons of God, that Genesis has the mysterious story they mated with the daughters of men on earth. Was there a connection between heaven and earth through a mountain that went through an opening in the firmament? And was that mountain Atlantis or on Atlantis that Plato says disappeared? Was the universe so different? We think nothing of spaceships. You ever notice Star Trek and Star Wars? Spaceships are shaped all kinds of ways. They have a part of it, and then they have an extension, and then they have another part on it. What if Saturn was connected in some way? You know, what is amazing is that the ancient sun worship that we call Baal is a later addition. The earliest sun worship worshiped Saturn. Didn't worship the sun as we now know it. It was always a sun with rings around it. Saturn. Was Saturn Satan's seat when he was in Eden at some earlier time that would even predate the world that was before the flood? Now we come to reincarnation mysteries. Where do those memories come from? Those sons of God that came down and mated with the women on earth certainly remembered the way it was and put the ideas into the stream of mankind that would have man worship Satan's seat as it was before he was cast down. But see, I'm just butchering up a half a dozen danglers tonight. Somebody came from Sirius A and B to the territory where the fox was ruling. And Nomo came to this place. The fox was impure. Ogo, they say, the fox rebelled at his creation, remained unfinished. Easy equivalent, the anthropologists point out, of Lucifer in our own tradition in the Christian West. And in order to atone for our impurity, this is Dogon belief, thousands of years before a missionary ever found them, in order to atone for our impurity living in the domain of the fox, it is said over and over by the Dogon that the Nomo dies and is resurrected, acting as a sacrifice for us to purify and cleanse the earth. Who told them that? I'm boring you.
Nowhere.
Their beliefs even extend to Nomo being crucified on a tree and forming a Eucharistic meal for humanity and then being resurrected. You see, God may have talked to somebody besides Abraham and his crowd.
This is the end of side one. For the rest of the teaching, please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.